Hey, all you nostalgic two-timers.
Welcome to 90210 Here We Go, the podcast that takes a look at each episode of the Beverly Hills 90210 franchise from Fox to the CW.
One of us is a 90210 expert and the other is a 90210 novice.
I'm Kendra Mickles and I'm seeing these episodes for the first time.
I'm Nick Gunning and I've seen them all.
Our show is brought to you by the Radio Meanwhile Network. Other shows on the network include 90s Music Got Me Like, This and Dorian Life, and previously on X-Men. You can follow all of the shows at Radio Meanwhile on Facebook, Instagram, and Threads. Please rate, subscribe, and share the show wherever you get your podcasts.
Today we're discussing Beverly Hills 90210 Season 8, Episode 8, Toil and Trouble. This is our second literary reference title in a row.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And this was supposed to be a Halloween episode?
Good point. Yeah, because it's called Toil and Trouble, which makes you think of witches. And it was October 29th. Yeah, weird.
All right, well, let's check out the Beverly Beat.
We guarantee the Beverly Beat is the best advertising you'll ever get.
This episode originally aired right before Halloween, October 29th, 1997. Birthdays, November 4th. Gillian Zinsser, who plays Ivy in the CW years, turned 12. One death to mention, November 4th, author Richard Hooker, best known for his book MASH, died at 73.
It's such an unpleasant book. I know it spawned like a media franchise movie and several TV shows, but the book is just, Hawkeye is just a very unpleasant character. So, I don't know.
Interesting.
I didn't like it.
Well, I'm not planning on reading it, and now I'm definitely not planning on reading it.
I weirdly, I've loved classic TV, and I don't think I've seen more than like 20 seconds of MASH in my entire life. Have you?
I've seen just little bits and pieces.
Okay, all right.
But my cousin, obsessed with MASH, she loves it. She's seen all of it. It's like her comfort show. So
Well, there's lots of books too. Like Richard Hooker wrote the first book, and then I think he's the credited author with the rest of them, but he didn't write them. And there's, you know, like 13 or something. It's quite a few.
Movies, October 31st, Critical Care with James Spader and Kira Sedgwick hit theaters. It's
an interesting mashup. Like
it is.
Two of them together. All right.
I think too intense, maybe.
That's true. Whenever I hear Kira Sedgwick without a thick Georgia accent, I'm like, this is wrong. This doesn't feel right.
Incorrect.
I feel like she's putting on like a northern accent. You know what I mean? But that's just the way she talks. The Closer was just a TV show.
Also on October 31st, the thriller Switchback with Danny Glover and Dennis Quaid was released.
Okay.
I like Dennis Quaid.
I haven't seen Danny Glover in a while. What's Danny Glover up to?
No idea.
Been a while. Okay.
TV, November 1st, Naomi Watts and Bruce Greenwood begin their short-lived sci-fi series, Sleepwalkers. The show was created by David S. Goyer and lasted 7 episodes.
Wowzer. Okay.
Well, Naomi Watts lands on her feet.
So yeah. I mean, Bruce Greenwood doing okay as well. So
I don't know who that is.
Bruce Greenwood was Captain Pike in the J.J. Star Trek movies. And he was, you know, whatever, Mr. Usher in The Fall of the House of Usher just on Netflix recently.
I have almost started that show about 10 times.
I don't know that I would say that it's worth it. The only one I truly liked was Haunting of Hill House. And even that, you could poke holes in if you try.
Mm. Oh. Music. October 28th, Kiss released their 17th album, Carnival of Souls. It peaked at number 9 on the U.S. rock and heavy metal charts.
Okay.
November 1st, the Spice Girls released their second album, Spice World. It included the hit single Spice Up Your Life, and the album went to number 1 in many countries. And the album went 4 times platinum in the US and 5 times in the UK.
Not too bad.
Love the Spice Girls.
Yeah.
Video games. October 29th, Riven, the spooky sequel to Myst, was released on Sega Saturn and PS1.
Ooh, I loved Myst. I loved Myst, and I beat Myst, and then Riven came out, and I've tried to play it several times, and it really freaks me out. I don't know why. It's all those games are spooky. Exile and, you know, Uru, all that stuff, spooky. But something about Riven, I just find very unsettling. I don't know. Have you played any of them?
I have not. I've heard of Myst.
Yeah, Myst.
But I have not played
Good times. Good times.
November 1st, Crash Bandicoot 2 was released for the PS1.
I like a little Crash Bandicoot in my life.
I don't know which one it is that I've played, but I have played one of them. Not all the way through, but I hate those levels where you have to run towards the camera.
Yeah, that's hard.
And I hate those.
That's hard. No, in you know, I love the Uncharted games for PlayStation. In the fourth one, there's a level where Nathan Drake is just at home and he gets out his PS1 and plays Crash Bandicoot, and you have to beat the level to continue on in the story for Uncharted. And it was one of those run towards the screen levels, and it took me a million. It was like the hardest thing to do in the Uncharted game was beat that Crash Bandicoot level.
I hate stuff like that. And I I've been playing Kirby
Fully Loaded.
Kirby Fully Loaded. Kirby and the Forgotten Lands, I think is what it's called.
Oh, okay.
And there's been a couple of things like that.
I just played Kirby for the first time. My son, we're playing it on our Switches, and I'd never played Kirby before, like not even a single level. And so we were playing the Super Nintendo one, and he was much better at it than I was, but I liked it. It was fun.
All right, Nick, take us beyond the zip code.
All right. In 2016, Jessica Stroop, known for playing the older version of Aaron Silver, shows up as Lieutenant Sullivan in Jack Reacher, Never Go Back. The movie stars Tom Cruise and Kobe Smulder and is based on the best-selling book series by Lee Child, and now his brother Andrew Child has taken over the series. And there's a Prime new Reacher series that's out, so...
Oh, my dad loves it.
Can't stop, won't stop. I did not like... Your husband Eric and I went to see Never Go Back together, and it was really bad. The first Jack Reacher, I think, is fun. You know, I mean, it's just one of those kind of movies, but Never Go Back, ooh, it was rough.
My dad likes to point out that it's crazy that Tom Cruise was cast as Jack Reacher.
That's because true.
He's like, you know, nothing like he is in the books.
No, the books, really, a lot of it hinges on just how big and imposing Jack Reacher is. Just him walking into the room sets people on edge. Tom Cruise is like, you know, a crazy Papa Smurf, so it's not...
I just saw an interview that the guy who plays Jack Reacher did on a late night show. I don't know if it was Jimmy Fallon or what, where he was talking about how he and his wife saw this guy breaking into a car and he like chased the guy down.
Whoa.
It was a really funny, the way he tells it was very funny.
He's a big dude. Do you know who that is? That's Alan Ritchson, who played Aquaman in Smallville.
Oh, it is.
Yeah. Yeah, and he also played...
I just realized that.
Hawk. He played Hawk in Titans, that DC show.
Wow, yeah, he really did dude. Bulk up.
He did, yeah.
Because he was not... He did not look that like big. That.
No, certainly not.
Speaking of Smallville, have you watched... What's-his-face's new show, Tracker?
Justin Hartley.
Yeah, Justin Hartley.
I just watched the first episode that was on after the Super Bowl.
I keep thinking about watching it. But,
yeah, I mean, it's just one of those shows. It's just like, it's just, you know, it's Quantum Leap, it's The Fugitive, it's whatever. It's like this guy going from, it's Jack Reacher, you know, just going from town to town solving problems.
Well, I like him, so.
I like him too.
I thought about watching it, but.
I felt like, my wife and I watched it, and we have every intention of watching the second episode. Will it ever happen? We don't know. But the intention is there.
Well, and that's, you know, half the battle.
Yeah.
Let's look at our synopsis for Toil and Trouble. Brandon and Kelly decide incorrectly that their problem with their relationship is that they're too in sync as a couple. They haven't had any excitement in their whole relationship.
Also, like, they have not been able to connect on even the smallest of things in several seasons. So to be like, oh, the problem is we're such a great couple, I don't think that's a problem, guys.
Their plan to mix things up is to have sex during the day sometimes.
Wow.
It's crazy. Yeah. Speaking of relationships, Val has one too many, and neither Noah nor Cooper is too thrilled about that. Steve and Carly, however, are on a forward trajectory when they leave a fancy party to care for barfing Zach. Finally, David steals money from Donna while also making her feel bad about herself. Screw David at this point.
This is like season three David again, right?
It's crazy.
He's just like a destructive, no thanks.
All right, Nick, who's living in Beverly Hills?
Well, this episode was directed by Richard Denault, written by L. Trideman. So she served as story editor for season 8, but this is her first written by credit on the series. So she'll be around, but...
good for you, L.
Yeah. Guest cast. So Miles Jeffrey is back as the previously mentioned barfing Zach Reynolds. We have Fatima Lowe as Terry Spar. This is the final appearance of Edith Varin as Mrs. Garibaldi. She previously appeared as Stella in season 2. So the last time we only got a first name, and this time we only got a last name. So same character?
I'd say so.
I think yes. Yep. Final appearance of Christopher Orr as Cooper Hargrove. So he really has had enough. Really?
He's done.
Yeah. He's just going to go and sit around and wait till Emilio Estevez calls him to do that Mighty Ducks reboot. New recurring players include Rebecca Balding as Jill Abernathy. She would also recur as Nora on Melrose Place the following year. And we have Cammy Green. She's a new waitress in the Peach Pit. She was in episodes of Party of Five and The Practice. She doesn't get a name, but she's going to be bustling around the Peach Pit for a while.
All right.
Yeah. And other cast members, we have Roxanne Brusso as Alana. She previously appeared as Melanie on Melrose Place, then did shows like Bosch Legacy and 911 Lone Star. Speaking of 911 Lone Star and its star, Rob Lowe, have you been watching The Floor on Hulu, like a game show?
No.
It's really fun. It's really fun.
Try saying 911 Lone Star Rob Lowe five times fast.
I'm amazed that I did it once.
Lone Star starring Rob Lowe.
Never going to say it again. I just said it once, but it is a fun show. I recommend it.
Okay, cool.
We have Janine Jackson as the loan officer. She was on The Librarians, Leverage, and ER. And speaking of ER, Charles Kallenberg, who plays Albert in the episode, was also on ER, plus Diagnosis Murder, and a little show called Seinfeld.
I've heard of it. Remember how I went most of my life hating Seinfeld?
Yeah.
And then I watched it and I was like, well, this is great.
Oh, that's, I didn't realize that changed. I didn't get the memo.
Yeah. I love Seinfeld now.
Welcome to the club.
I get it now.
Oh, you're one of the hip crowd. Yeah. Okay.
All right. Toil and Trouble.
Why is it called that?
I don't know.
Okay. I mean, there's
trouble.
There's trouble and people are doing some toiling. So I guess that's it. But it implies. No, wait. Donna, they're trying to do a seance. There's a witch subplot. So that's what it is. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I don't need some listener messaging us being like, there were witches. We know there are witches. Okay.
Let's do it. All right. At the Walsh house. Kelly and Brandon are doing their morning routine, and Kelly is kind of, you know, she's over the routine. She's like, I know exactly what time you get out of the shower. I know exactly what time you're going to brush your hair.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, we have this routine so that we don't run into each other when we're getting ready in the morning.
Yeah.
Routine is good.
It is good.
But she says, you know, their relationship is too safe. There's no risk. No, neither of them are getting shot at. Yeah. Neither of them are losing their memory.
Yeah, yeah. Like, when you spent the last 2 weeks dodging bullets, I don't think you need to say that your problem is that you're too safe.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So she thinks they need to shake it up a little. Yeah.
Yep.
Donna and David are driving, and Donna is nervous. She has a meeting with a new client, Mrs. Garibaldi, and she said her late husband, is like the designer, the House of Garibaldi, like he was a fashion guy. Yeah. So this could be a big deal for her if she gets this gig, which it's not designing. It's just finding her clothes. Yeah.
You know, Kendra, while I was watching this scene, I was thinking about a few weeks ago, you were talking about how this season is all about like tiny little scenes, little quick bite scenes. There's also lots of driving scenes, lots of being in car scenes. Which I feel like we went, you know, 8 seasons without that. And now it's like every episode we get a little driving scene. But
yeah. So they're driving to the phone place. The phone.
Yes.
Where he's going to go pay his phone bill.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pay the phone bill. And she's going to come inside with him. But he's like, no. Like, you go do something else. Don't come with me. And he finally convinces her not to come in. So he goes to the counter, and this is like the most smug clerk.
He is aggressive. Yeah,
I've ever seen.
He acts like David has been taking money, taking food off his children's table is how this man acts.
He's like, David's finally getting what's coming to him.
Yeah, I know.
So David needs to reconnect the number, is disconnected, plus then there are like late fees on top of it. So he owes like... Yeah.
Capitalism.
Yeah.
You know?
He owes like $90 or something. Tries to give him a card. It's declined. Tries another card. It's declined. Finally, third time's the charm. And the whole time, the clerk is just like taunting him. Yeah. Like, oh, you really think this card's going to work? Okay.
Yeah. Hey, I looked up what $90 would be for us today.
Oh, thank you.
And it $170.
Little so, chunk of change. I'd be annoyed if I had to pay that much.
I would be annoyed for sure. Yeah. Especially because so much of it was like, oh, there's a late fee and we disconnected and now we gotta reconnect.
Late fees with a passion. I hate them. Like when I miss in the mail that we had like a toll thing. Yes. If I miss it and then the next one comes and I'm like, dadgummit. I owe more.
Not cool at all.
So annoying.
Capitalism.
The Peach Pit is a hoppin'. It's real busy at the Peach Pit.
Transfer some of that business next door, am I right?
And you know, as we're watching the Peach Pit be busy, I wondered, does Nat still own part of the Peach Pit after dark?
It's so murky because like this landlady rolls in out of nowhere and it's like, then what do they own? Like
what do they own?
They own the concept of a Peach Pit after dark. I guess I felt like they were sort of like, there is like the umbrella of the Peach Pit and there's the day and there's the night. And I guess I thought maybe some of the Peach Pit, you know what I mean? I thought it was one set of books, you know?
It feels like if David goes under, it's going to hurt Nat. Like, surely Nat is involved.
Well, I don't think they're thinking about this, but I don't think that David, he bought out Valerie's share, but did he buy out Dylan? Did he buy out Nat? You know what I'm saying? Like
about Dylan.
Because Dylan, I'm pretty sure Dylan still owns a Peach Pit, is all I'm saying. Nothing has ever said that that's not true.
Well, that's not addressed in this episode. No. It just like occurred to me as I was watching it.
Yeah, because it was not that long ago when Colin's bail was up and Valerie kind of put up the Peach Pit. And it was like, they said then Nat's going to lose, Dylan's going to lose. And that was like a season ago.
Yeah.
So
I think they're forgetting some things. But anyway.
Out of mind. Yeah.
So Carly's hard at work and Steve is kind of picking on her while she works, like, hey, can you fill up this half full ketchup bottle for me? And then he invites her to go to the Harvest Moon Ball with him on Friday night. It's a big party. Everyone's going to be there.
What is this foundation that Kelly works for? It doesn't make any sense to me. She's enrolling kids in preschool and throwing like lavish balls?
I don't know.
All right. Okay.
But Carly does agree to be Steve's date to the ball.
Cute.
Donna meets with Mrs. Garibaldi, and Mrs. Garibaldi's describing the kind of clothes she wants. She wants them to be like loud, but not too loud, not too distracting.
There's a funny scene because she's wearing a bright blue suit and she has a scarf, but you would never be like, what a loud, weird outfit. It's just a blue suit. And she's like, my tastes are, you know, lavish and colorful. She is in the brownest, tannest house I've ever seen. Every stick of furniture, crazy.
So Donna shows her some of her sketches. She loves her designs, but she says, you know what, maybe in the future, but right now I just need an outfit for Friday. I'm having a seance.
Again, I don't mean to pick holes in every little thing that happens, but I thought that it was going to be like a party that featured a seance, but it's just her, the witch, and Donna. So why does she need a special outfit for it?
I don't know. I thought the same thing. I was like, oh, she's having like a big party.
She's having like a party and there's going to be like a medium there. Okay. Yeah. But no.
But no. Not only that, but she doesn't even have a psychic for the seance.
No. It's also arbitrary. She set the date. Shouldn't you want to book the psychic first?
Yeah.
I don't know.
But it becomes Donna's problem to find a psychic. So she's got to find her an outfit and a psychic.
Because of fashion.
This episode to me felt like they were reading all their lines like they were in a play. It was very strange to me. Like, I don't know. Just like it didn't feel like natural dialogue like it does sometimes. It felt like line, line, line. I don't know.
Yeah.
It just felt weird to me this episode.
Yeah, I don't.
Especially with Donna being like, "Huh, you need to sit down in your outfit, huh?" Like,
yeah. I definitely picked up that it was bad. I don't know if I would say like that it was like a play, but it was, the mojo was off for sure. I feel like that's from the very first scene of Kelly and Brandon. I was like, uh-oh.
Yeah. So. Yeah. So she's having this seance to find a bracelet, by the way. She's lost this bracelet. She thinks maybe her dead husband knows where it is.
Because she hid her jewelry all around the house.
Right.
It's like, you're writing this. You don't have to make it stupid. You know what I mean? Like, you could come up with plausible reasons.
Do anything else.
Why do we have a psychic at all? Like, what's the point of that? I don't know. It's fine.
Because Halloween.
Someone does name check Dionne Warwick, which is hilarious. Because
I can't remember when that is.
But. Spent my teens thinking, wow, Dionne Warwick, you know, I say a little prayer for you, and then she became a psychic. I didn't realize that she just was friends with psychics.
One of my favorite things on SNL lately has been the Dionne Warwick
show. Yeah, that's pretty good.
So funny. Anyway, okay, so we go to a fancy restaurant where Val and Cooper are on a date. And they're talking about, you know, how Cooper's always had money, but he's always felt really guilty about it. You know, it's just been so hard having all this money.
Yeah.
But Valerie hasn't, and she knows she's not afraid to work, and that's what Cooper likes about her. Cooper invites Valerie to go to the Harvest Moon Ball with him, and she says, I don't know, all my friends are going to be there, and I don't know if I'm ready for them to meet you. But
this is just a coincidence that Cooper is going to the ball that Kelly's foundation is showing, because there's been no connection.
Yeah, I guess he's just rich, so
it's just like
invited.
A rich people thing. Yeah. And I'm not wrong. I mean, it is Kelly's foundation that's doing it, right? Yes. I'm not making that up. Okay.
Steve says that. Right. Kelly's foundation.
So. All right. Sorry.
Yep. So he gives her a diamond necklace, and she agrees to go to the ball with him, even though she's still kind of, I don't know what she's planning to do. They're all friends with Noah.
Yeah.
Like, I don't. Doesn't make sense.
No.
At the Peach Pit After Dark, Jill Abernathy, the landlord apparently, is there to get the rent from David. Yeah.
Now, I do feel like I remember them leasing the space because it was like an old rug store. And they were like, I think they were like leasing the space from the old rug store. I think that was said like one time as the Peach Pit After Dark was coming up. But I do think there was, I was trying to think like, are we making this up? But I think there was something about the property itself being owned by someone else.
We need like a show Bible. Like we should have been keeping track of all this stuff.
Well, we can go listen to our episodes.
Bible. Yeah.
Take us a couple of weeks, just straight. Big pot of coffee, bloodshot eyes. Okay. Yep. All right. All right, Brenda. Okay. Hey, while we're paused, I got to tell you, Shannon Doherty has this podcast, you know, we talked about Let's Be Clear, and she just did a two-part interview with Jason Priestley, and it was very entertaining. So,
aw, that's fun. I'll have to listen to that.
Yeah, and she's got, I haven't heard it yet, but it's out. She also did, interviewed Brian Austin Green. Like, they just have a little chat about things.
Fun.
So it's a good time.
I love it when people are friends.
Forgot, I mean, I do, I still miss Brenda, honestly. I mean, the whole the Brenda Brandon, I just, you know, even though she was annoying, it was like a necessary piece of the puzzle, I believe.
Yeah, there was something about that character and what it did for the show.
Yeah, and it was smart of them to be like, we got to fill this void fast. And we got Valerie, and like, Valerie has been a good character, but there's,
it's different.
It's different, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
David promises Jill that he'll have the rent in a few days, but she is not having it. She's like, if you do not have a check for me by tomorrow morning, you're out of here. Because this isn't the first month that he's been late. She also says that his lease is up next month and that a signing of a new lease will come with a 15% increase in property insurance.
Yeah.
So he's a little in trouble here.
He is. I would just love a single line of him being like, I can't go to my father. Something. You know what I mean? Just like say something.
Yeah. As Jill's leaving, Donna comes in and tells David about, you know, the whole meeting with Mrs. Garibaldi and how she has to find a psychic and all of this stuff. And David just kind of brushes. She's like, who was that? And he's like, just a person. Doesn't matter. Nothing's wrong. Don't think anything's wrong because nothing's wrong. All right. On the boat that Noah lives on, works on.
All the above, baby. Like when the Green Arrow in Smallville just hung out on an airplane all the time.
Yeah.
Same concept.
Albert is Noah's...
Accountant?
Financial... I wrote lawyer, but now I'm thinking accountant.
Maybe accountant. Advisor. Yeah.
And he's talking to Noah about his investments.
Mm.
And Noah is not interested. He's like, hey, you just do whatever you want. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
He says, well, that's not how, you're supposed to tell me what you want to do with the money. And he's like, I don't even want the money. Like, it's just caused me problems. This is so the first we're hearing of this, right?
It is. The concept of there being money. Yes, this is new.
So he actually has money.
Well.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Valerie comes in as Albert's leaving and Noah lies about who he is. He's like, oh, it's just some guy that I'm going to fix up his boat or something.
Mm-hmm.
And he and Val have a little flirty,
I guess.
Time. That's it. She doesn't want to eat mac and cheese like a crazy person. She doesn't want to eat mac and cheese.
I know.
Crazy.
So good.
At the Walsh house, Brandon has put together a fancy dinner for him and Kelly, for which he called Cindy in Beijing to have her walk him through a recipe.
Cindy reference. Yeah.
Yeah. So this is his attempt to try and break up their monotonous routine.
Yeah. A fancy lunch.
Yeah.
Should do it.
Yeah.
That's all it takes.
So then Kelly's like, he feeds her some and then she feeds him some. And I promise I thought they were going to baby bird the food to each other. she's like, do you want some? And she takes a bite and then goes in. And I was like, is she going to pass fish from her mouth to his mouth?
I mean, we know how Jason Priestley kisses. So that's not out of the question.
Well, they do end up kissing, food in their mouth. I don't know. But whatever it is, they're into it. They throw all the food off the table.
I didn't like that.
And they just do it on the table.
Yeah.
Yeah. Eat the food. I mean, save the food.
Yeah.
You have to make a mess.
Yeah. Yeah. On the other hand, though, if you eat that big lunch, you're really not going to be in the mood anymore, I don't think.
That's true. At Donna and David's, Donna is still having trouble finding a psychic. In all of L.A., no psychics available.
She can't find it. She's going through the yellow pages. Hey, I like Donna's hair. We've had we've had a long journey with Donna's hair, and it's usually been a rocky, unpleasant one. But I think this sort of reddish and swept back kind of vibe is really working for her.
Yeah. She reminds David that he needs to pick up his tux for the Harvest Moon Ball.
Yes.
And she's like, do you want me to remind you? And he's like, no, I've got it. I'll do it. I'm fine. And he's being very, snippy and cold with her.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
At the Walsh house, this is the next morning, I guess. Steve.
Yeah, I guess. They just, I was really confused about the timing. Yeah. Yeah.
They left all the food. They left the dining room a mess. And so Steve is like, what is this about? And they tell him what happened, and he doesn't believe.
Yeah, he's like, no, I don't think so.
I don't think you guys did that. And Brandon's like, what are we, Ozzy and Harriet? Val and Noah come downstairs. So I guess Noah's just staying over all the time
overnight
now.
Overnight guest, I guess so. Sure.
Yeah. And she gets a beep on her beeper from Cooper. And Noah's like, man, this guy, he's just like, it's morning, you just woke up and he's already paging you. But Val's like, yeah, he's an important client.
Okay.
Brandon asks Noah if he thinks that he and Kelly are boring, and Noah's like, no, think so. Kelly,
I'm glad Noah weighed in, because he really
knows them very well.
He does. He's got a deep connection.
Kelly offers Noah an extra ticket to the ball.
Oh.
And Noah is confused why Valerie didn't offer him a ticket.
Jenny Garth's reaction to that is pretty funny. She's like, it's pretty funny.
So Noah goes upstairs to confront Valerie, and she, without missing a beat, is like, oh, I didn't, you don't like to go to stuff like that. You don't like to dress up. Like,
yeah, he cops to it. He's like, yeah, you're right. I don't like that.
Yeah. So at the bank, will not give David a loan because he lacks financial stability.
Yeah. No assets in a failing business. Why wouldn't you back that horse?
Yeah, because he's like, I have a business. And she's like, well, yeah, but like, you don't own the building.
Right. Like, right. Yeah. So give me the loan and I'll pay the bills to have my business. So yeah.
So he says, well, I have a car. Could I put my car up for collateral? It's a vintage car, the car his grandfather left to him. Right. And she's like, I would sell it if I were you because you're not getting a loan from us.
I don't understand.
Sell that car.
I just don't understand how much money he sunk into this club, because the whole thing with his inheritance and like Mel freaking out and everything, I felt like it was like $1 million. You know what I mean? Like, that's how they acted. And it's like, no, he made one bad investment and he doesn't have anything. Nothing.
At the newspaper, the Beverly Beat, there is a witch who's wanting to advertise her services.
Oh.
In the Beverly Beat.
Sure.
And she is being all flirty with Steve. She specializes in love potions. And Steve is like, well, I'll call you later. Let me look over what you got here. I'll call you later with our rates. And Brandon kind of calls him out. It's like, wow, you must really be into Carly, because this girl was all over you and you did not take the opportunity.
You had a hot witch on the line.
Yeah.
And he just let her go.
Let her go.
She ran off to the Charmed set.
At Donna and David's, Carly is borrowing a dress from Donna for the ball. Yeah. And
Donna's like, oh, I remember in college we had all these formals and it was so fun. And I was like, Did you?
Yeah.
Did you have formals? I don't think so.
I thought they were talking about high school, but she wasn't. Yeah. She was talking about college.
College prom.
Yeah.
I love college. I mean, I guess there's sort of like a college prom. I went to a couple. All right, fine. We'll allow it. Yeah.
So then Carly talks a little bit about, you know, her background, and she went to University of Montana, but she had to drop out after her freshman year because of, you know, being pregnant and how that was rough, but, you know, she loves Zach but she wonders what could have been sometimes. Back at the newspaper, Kelly calls for Brandon, and they've both just been so distracted all day thinking about what they did on the dining room table.
Yeah.
Desecrated that dining room table. And they're just, you know, flirty innuendo. And then I don't know what happened on my end. I think the scene just cut off. Do you have any other notes about this scene?
No.
Okay, because I don't know what happened with what I was watching, but it went like, and then it was a different scene.
Oh,
so okay. I don't know.
No, I don't remember anything of note happening there. I mean, that's another thing. The transitions have been choppy also in this new era. So maybe.
Well, because this next part is later. We're still at the newspaper, but it's later. So I don't know if they went to commercial or what happened. Okay. But anyway, Donna comes to the newspaper, to the Beverly Beat. She still hasn't found a psychic. So she's hoping to find one at the newspaper. I don't know.
Sure.
Kelly arrives, and she and Brandon are just like all over each other, which Steve comments on.
Yeah. And, but like, they're bad at it. I don't know what, like, the actors are just kind of like, I don't know, nibbling at each other. It was weird.
Yeah. Donna tells Steve about how she has to like organize a seance. And I was like, wait, is she finding her an outfit or is she throwing a seance? Because like, this has turned into so much.
Right. But I mean, that's the way it's been the whole time. Like the stuff they did for Cooper and everything was just like, okay, whatever.
So Steve gives her Alana, the witch's information.
Yeah. Like Kelly's like, you don't have a psychic. What are you talking about? He's like, it's new. It's new. I liked it.
Steve says that Kelly and Brandon are making him nosh. which I wrote down because that made me laugh.
That's funny.
And so they like go off to a different room and he tells them not to leave butt prints on the copier again. All right. Back at the Garibaldi house, the seance is happening and it is Alana the Witch, Mrs. Garibaldi, and Donna.
That's it.
And Donna's job here has just been to like look where
all the places
Alana is saying this bracelet is.
Yeah, so the dead husband is supposedly telling Alana where the stuff is, and Donna's like climbing in the chimney and
yeah, so she's like covered in soot. And she's, you know, in full goof for this scene. Yeah.
Yep.
So they try one more time. Man, this scene was stupid. So Alana is channeling the dead husband and doing like a terrible
Hey, what's up?
Yeah, accent. And she says, well, he says that the bracelet is in the pool. Which Donna is like, don't you dare make me go look in that pool.
Yeah. She's like, the filter, maybe drain it. I don't know.
So she tries to talk to Mr. Garibaldi and is like, where did you have it last? Apparently the last time she wore it was at her niece's wedding. The clasp broke, and so she put it in her purse. We did it. We found the bracelet.
Wow. What a mess. A real Columbo right here.
Amazing. That is. This is also where Donna learns that her husband was not a fashion designer.
Right.
He owned a string of dry cleaners.
Yeah. So all this work. He works with clothes, textiles, you know.
So all this work, and it's for nothing.
Wah, wah, wah.
Steve picks up Carly at her house, and she looks great in the dress she borrowed from Donna. And Zach is going to his grandma's house because they don't know when they'll be home.
Ooh.
So he's going to go stay with grandma.
Is there any indication here that Zach is sick?
No, I don't think so. Because I feel
like that came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
When she's like, I got to go call and check on him. I'm like, what? I feel like there's something missing where it's like, oh, should we leave him? He's sick.
Yeah.
Yeah, who knows?
On the boat with Noah, Valerie is all dressed up, ready to go to this ball. And Noah's, you know, thinks she looks great, but, you know, he's not a black tie kind of guy. So. Mm-mm. And Valerie asks him if he's in it for the long run with her.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, I'm in it. Is she?
I don't know. She's like, well, great, because I've got a date tonight, so it might be a long night.
At Donna and David's, Donna, I wrote, looks gorgeous in her outfit. She does.
They found the right vibe.
And David is just sulking in the bed. He's like not even dressed.
Unpleasant.
She bought him some cufflinks with her bonus that she got from Mrs. Garibaldi for finding the bracelet. And she gives them to David as, you know, as a gift. And he's like,
you stupid cow. Get out of here.
He's like, what a stupid,
stupid
thing to do. Yeah. It's so impulsive. You can't blow your money on something like this.
Yep.
And she immediately goes into like, I'm so sorry. Yeah. Why did I messed up? I shouldn't have bought this for you.
Which is kind of classic. I'd hate it too, but it is kind of classic Donna. So like,
it is.
This is usually her first thing, and then she'll kind of come to a point where she's like, you know what? It's been 6 years, and I won't take this anymore.
So David says that he has to handle some things before he goes to the ball, and so he will meet her later.
Meet her, and I'm sure he will.
Yeah,
I'm sure that he'll be there.
At the ball, Kelly and Brandon are riding in the elevator with a couple other people, and they're just making everyone uncomfortable. Me included. Yeah, with their PDA. And after everyone leaves the elevator, they decide to stay in the elevator and make out in the elevator.
Yeah, something.
At Donna and David's, David he's pacing. He doesn't know what he's going to do. How is he going to pay this money by tomorrow morning? And his solution is to get Donna's checkbook out of her purse and write a check.
stealing money that she would have given to him freely.
That's what I said. Know? I was like, all he had to do is ask.
Yes. Yes.
Instead of just telling her,
yeah,
hey, we're having money problems. He's like stealing. It's so stupid.
It just doesn't. I mean, what is she not going to notice? You know what I mean? Like, you're going to have the conversation, my man. So either like nut up and just talk to her, or get caught stealing from her. Those are your choices. Stupid.
So he immediately calls Jill Anderson to the Peach Pit after dark and gives her the check. And she's like, who's Donna Martin?
Yeah.
But she does take the check. And she says, if next month's rent is a day late, she's pulling the plug.
We didn't talk about the scene where David shows up at the door. Did you see that? That not how you were watching it? David shows up at the door of the Peach Pit after dark, and there's like a big like eviction notice like on it.
Oh, yes.
Blocking the door. And his reaction to this is wild.
I did not see this.
Oh, you didn't see it?
No. I just saw her showing up.
Oh, so I think it's an earlier scene. Maybe that's where yours cut out.
Yeah, maybe.
There's an earlier scene where David rolls up in the Peach Pit after dark, and there is a padlock on it and a big like red eviction notice, and he freaks out. So it's like screaming and like ripping the thing off. He looked at that scene in Star Wars where Vader says, no, I'm your father. That's impossible. That's Brian Austin Green's response there. It's completely over the top.
Yeah, I didn't see that scene.
Oh, it's wild. Yeah.
Because I was confused. So, I was like, why is she taking a padlock off the door?
Okay. So yeah, that must be the scene that you were missing. But yeah, it was a big reaction. So it doesn't explain his behavior, but the level of freak out that he has speaks to his desperation when he does steal the check. So
yeah. At the ball, Valerie is dancing with Cooper, and Steve and Brandon and Carly and Kelly are, you know, seeing this happen. And Kelly's like, oh, this is interesting that she's with Cooper, because they all know she's with Noah.
Right. Yeah.
Kelly thinks they look much too cozy for client
relations. At some point, Kelly's like, well, Valerie never met a wallet she didn't like. And I was like, yeah. I mean,
Cooper goes to get some champagne and leaving Valerie alone. Noah and Donna run into each other at the elevators. And he said he didn't get a ticket from Kelly. He said that some other friend gave him a ticket. Everyone's trying to give Noah tickets, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Donna kind of tells Noah about the whole David situation. Yeah. And Noah's like, it'll be fine.
Dare I say some vibing in this little walk and talk betwixt them?
A little vibing, yes.
Okay.
And Noah tells Donna he's there to surprise Valerie. Valerie doesn't know he's coming.
Yeah.
Harley goes to check on Zach. She goes to call her mom and make sure he's doing okay.
Yeah, this is what I mean. Because she's acting like, no, I really have to go and check on him.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you've been gone like an hour.
I guess, I thought she was just nervous leaving him. I don't know.
It has a feel of a deleted scene. Also, I hate Steve's suit. It's awful.
Oh, yeah. He looks like an Amish minister. Yeah.
It's one of those, like, you know, no ties and just a little button. I remember those in the 90s. I want to say I wore one once and I was like, this is not... For anyone.
When he picks up Carly, he's like, I'm Bond, James Bond. And I was like, that's not how Bond.
No.
That's not the kind of suit he wears.
No.
But okay. So yeah, Carly comes back and says that Zach has been throwing up for the past 30 minutes or something. And so she has to go. Which, he's with his grandma. Like, what's she gonna do? She's gonna get him out of bed, drive him out. Like, just let him stay.
Let him stay.
He's already there.
He's already puked, you know?
What could she do?
Nothing.
Just watch him puke?
Yep.
So she goes to get a taxi, but Steve is like, I'll drive you home. Like, I want to be with you. That's why I'm here. So, very sweet.
So sweet.
Noah comes to surprise Valerie, and he like kisses her on the shoulder. She's very surprised to see him. Almost immediately, Cooper joins their group, and Noah instantly realizes
what's up,
what's happened, yeah. what's happening.
There's no, because this exact thing happened like two episodes ago where they ran into each other when Noah was like, you know, a waiter or whatever, and they had an interaction. I thought Cooper was going to be like, you're that waiter from the other night. Nothing. It's like, this is the first time this has happened.
Yeah. So Noah leaves and Cooper asks who he is. And she's like, he's nobody. It's nothing. But Cooper saw him kiss her shoulder. And he says he isn't going to settle for second place.
Yeah.
So he's out of there.
There's a quick turnaround on Cooper because she has been rejecting him like every step of the way. And he's like not taking any no's for an answer. But this, he's like, forget it. But also, Valerie, you're a pathological liar. Just say he's an ex who won't take the hint. That's all you got to do.
Make up a story.
I'm like, wait, you're afraid to lie now? Just lie. You know, just lie.
Back at Carly's house, Steve stayed to be there with her, even though she's, you know, taking care of her sick child. And they talk about how much she loves Zach. She says she loves him more than anything. And he says, I love you for feeling that way.
Ooh.
I know.
Are we counting that? Is that an official I love you?
I think about it after he said it. I was like,
yeah.
He does.
He's at least testing the waters. He's testing the waters. I did that. I did that a little. Yeah.
Back at the Walsh house, Kelly and Brandon are exhausted after the party, but not too exhausted.
Ready for more.
Yep. They're ready to go. At Donna and David's, when Donna gets home, David is outside on the porch drinking. And Donna's had enough. She's like, you never showed this was important to me and you weren't there and you need to make me a priority in your life. And David is just, you know, like, you're stupid. Go away.
I don't know why. I don't know if he's still thinking like, all right, before that check clears, I'll somehow get the money and I can put it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know why at this point he's not just like, you know, your boy done goofed.
Just come clean.
You gotta come clean. You have to come clean. Otherwise, she's just gonna see it. Probably her parents are gonna see it on her bank statement.
I wish they had teed this up with, like, Donna having less trust in him about money.
Yeah.
Or something. It just, I don't understand why he's hiding it from her.
I don't
either. There's no reason for him to hide it from
her.
No.
No, there's really not. It's not. Especially because he only bought Valerie out at Donna's insistence.
Yeah.
I just think that that's like, you know, look, we took on this burden and now we got to, it's, I don't know. I don't know. Kendra, what was your 90210 snap?
I think I'll give it to the Noah Cooper face-off.
Okay.
You as well?
No, I think I'm going to go with the scene you didn't see. David's reaction to the door was like the height of drama. It was, it was intense. Yeah.
I'm going to have to, like, find it somewhere so I can watch it.
Yeah. All right, Kendra, what's your verdict?
Oh, you know.
Yeah.
I didn't hate it as much as some of the other stuff, but we all know I hate Donna shenanigans, and there was a lot of that in this episode.
I was feeling a little more hopeful last episode, and this one I just didn't connect with it at all.
I'm just kind of like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
What is everyone doing and why?
Yeah.
Why are they doing it?
They haven't been able to sync. Like, someone has got to be like the stable one with the job, and nobody feels like that to me.
Yeah.
You know, like, at least like when they were in college, even though we never saw college, it was like, yeah, they're college students. They're, you know, they're college students. Now it's just like, well, what are they? You know, they're just kind of like floating around and like, you know, nothing matters. I don't know. It's a weird vibe. I didn't enjoy this one. I'm glad the Cooper stuff is over. I don't want to do this, like, David is not treating Donna right plot line for the fifth
time. I'm so sick of
time,
it. I'm I so sick say. Of it.
So I'm not happy, but maybe I'll be happier next time for season 8, episode 9, Friends, Loves, and Children.
Wait, isn't it Lovers and Children?
Maybe.
Because I was like, don't put those words together, like, find a different title, but okay, we'll see what happens.
It is Friends, Lovers, and Children. Yeah, that's weird. that's a weird one. All right, well, you can catch me every other week on this Andorian Life, a Star Wars podcast from the Radio Meanwhile Network, or But Have You Tried from the David A. Howe Public Library. We're going to be talking about Matthew Perry's The Odd Couple. Matthew Perry, of course, best known for his work on Beverly Hills 90210. as Roger Azarian, the tennis champ.
A theater close to me is doing auditions right now for the female version of The Odd Couple.
That's funny. A theater close to me is doing it. Are you going to try out? You'd be great.
No, I don't have the time right now. It's going to be in April, and April is bonkers for me.
That's too bad.
Yeah.
That's too bad. That would be fun. Are you podcasting, Kendra? What are you guys talking about?
I am. Well, I'm the co-host of the podcast 90s Music Got Me Like, and our next episode will be with you, Nick, Return of the Mac.
Ooh, that's this one? Yeah.
So we got to record that sometime.
Such a high school song for me. I'm ready. Yeah.
So okay. Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
All right. Well, 902, and here we go.
Here we go.